Friday or Sunday night I was going to preach this message, but the Lord had other things in mind, and now I know why. But I want to talk about prayer power. Prayer power. How many of you still believe in that word? Little four-letter word called prayer. How many of your lives have been transformed by prayer? Amen. You have a pastor this morning that my life, I'm here because of prayer. How many of you know prayer isn't always a nice little cute little thing that we do? Sometimes prayer is just downright hard work. And we need to, as a church, we need to get back to and I guess maybe even once again learn how to pray. Amen? And I don't mean just a cute little prayer. I mean an intercession prayer. Praying and holding on and fighting for those things through the spiritual realm that we need delivered in the spiritual realm. And it's not often easy and it's not often fun, but it can be and is and has been in the past and will be tomorrow and will be today effective. Hallelujah. I still believe in the power of prayer. Anthony believes in the power of prayer, don't you, Anthony? Don't you, Anthony? Yeah. Anthony's been struggling with physical ailments in his body, and the reason I bring it up is because he's got x-rays, befores and afters, air x-rays, that show diminished, what are they, discs, vertebrae, discs, cushions, whatever, all that stuff in his neck. He showed them to me and they were all messed up, and he came to my house yesterday and he said, Pastor, I got to show you something. And he showed me another set of pictures of x-rays, and they're all perfectly spaced, every one of them. It's crazy. He said, I believe in prayer. And your doctor got a little indignant about the whole deal. What have you been doing? They prayed for me at church. Doctor couldn't, he didn't like that answer. Because oftentimes the doctors want you to give them praise for what they did, even though they didn't do nothing. And it's hard for them. How do I even say this? It's hard sometimes for a very highly educated individuals to accept the fact that sometimes they can't heal and that God steps in and brings the healing. And that's exactly what's happened. I believe in the power of prayer. I know that there are people. Listen, if you've got a grandma or some old lady praying for you, listen, just give up. Just give up, because you're not going to win. It just, maybe some of you need to be old ladies and old men and grandmas and grandpas that pray for people. Because there are those of us in this room this morning that are not experiencing the things that we would like to experience, and we've done everything in our power, physically, in our power. I want you to understand, in our power to fix those things, and it's not happened. Because God wants us to allow Him to fix them. I remember in the church in St. George, a precious lady, precious Christian lady, older gal, had a daughter that was running amok a lot and was all kinds of trouble. And she would come to the altar and, "Pastor, I need you to pray," and we'd pray, and she'd go away and she'd come back and, "Pastor, we need to pray," and we'd pray. And one day she came and I said, "You know what the Lord just spoke to me? That every time you come and pray, He hears your prayer, and then you pick up what you left at the altar and take it back with you." And he said, the Lord told me to tell you today to quit picking it up and quit taking it with you when you leave. You need to leave it at the altar. And I don't think that just applies to this lady in this situation. I prayed for you guys this morning when you were right. It blessed my heart to see both of you praying. Because the enemy's after you guys. He's after our young people. I don't know if you know that or not, church, but the enemy is after our young people, because if he can destroy our young people and these young marriages, he can affect and destroy and break down the foundation of the church. God didn't make any mistakes, and I'm going to make people mad, but I could care less this morning. He made a male and female. He wasn't confused. He didn't have any issues. He made man and woman. And he made man. Ladies, don't get mad at me. Take it up with God. He made man first. And from the... Listen, men, before you get too haughty about the fact that you're first, He made woman out of your rib, out of your side, to walk beside you, to be your helper. Not your slave. Not your provider. From out of your side to walk beside you and to support you. To be your helpmate. And He took them and He made take two people, put them together and made one flesh. None of that has anything to do, yet everything to do with my message. Beneath the surface, folks, you've got to understand that beneath the surface of the routine of daily life, there is a fierce struggle. There is a battle between the spiritual, between invisible spiritual powers that are raging, and the Bible says that are warring in your members. Too many of us have gotten comfortable in the battle. We have basically taken a spectator role in the gladiator battle that is going on. And this morning I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is because frankly I was frustrated after my a video conference with the architect and the engineers, and I was frustrated because Lord, I just want this thing to happen. I just want it done yesterday. I mean, I'm almost to the point of completely trashing all of those plans and just building an ark out there so that if it does flood, the thing will just float. That way I don't have to worry about water displacement. Because all of a sudden they're very concerned about the rainwater that's going to be on our property. What are you going to do with all that water? Same thing they've been doing for the last 500 years. Let it run off downhill. No, you can't do that because you have to take care of your water. Well, alrighty then. Huh?
Billy said you should have saved the barrel.
Listen, would you people just let me do the preaching? Wow. Those barrels, I'll just have you know, they were not FEMA approved. All right? In all of my frustration, anybody else want to preach this morning? I don't even know what I was talking about. I'm going to just come sit with you, okay? Am I the only one that ever gets frustrated? It's not a sin to get frustrated, but it ought to motivate us to recognize that it's not within our power sometimes to make the changes necessary. Amen? So what do we do in those moments? We recognize that there is such a thing as prayer power. That we have still been given this connection, this lifeline to the heavenly realm where God resides, and we can begin to let our petitions be made known. Listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Does anybody? See, if we will begin to follow the Spirit, if we try and follow Him by our own human effort, we will fail. The only way, folks, that we have to freedom from our evil desire is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, through prayer. If you've got a mountain that you're facing in your life, then you can't seem to scale the mountain, you need to begin to pray, because God said by faith, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and it has to be moved. Does the Bible say that or not? Do we realize that it says that or not? Is it just a nice part of the story? Or do we realize that it's put there as a reminder that the things that sidetrack us and derail us, God said, listen, if you'll just enact your faith, which, by the way, every one of you have a measure of faith. Every one of us. So our main defense is prayer, and it's prayer that God will protect us from the evil one, and that He will strengthen us and give us strength and undergird us. But church, according to Ephesians 6 and 11, we need the full armor of God. The full armor of God, not just part of it. Don't ever get so cocky that you think you can go to battle with just your sword. Remember that you need the full armor of God. You need all of it. The helmet, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of, too many of us are walking around barefoot. Barefoot. Listen, in Utah, you did not walk around in my backyard, as green as it was, you did not walk around in my backyard barefoot. Because they have these little devil weeds down there called goat heads. They're nasty. Crocs? Nothings? Those are them foam rubber shoes? Don't even slow them down. They just go right through there and bite you. And I don't know what it is about those little things, but when they do bite you, you can pull it out. And it leaves a little something in there. I don't know what. But it festers and it burns and it hurts for days. Think about those the next time you'd leave the house without having your feet shod. Without having your shoes on. Spiritually speaking. So we need the full armor of God, is because, listen, I don't know if you know this or not. It's not a matter of if you face spiritual attacks, it's when. It's when. You will, in fact, be attacked. Here's the reason why. Because as Christians, we are the enemy's prime target. We are his avowed enemy. He don't like you at all. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the first 5 verses, you'll find this. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. The patience of Christ. Think about that just for a moment. In our men's group on Friday night, I don't remember who said it, but somebody says, I don't pray for patience. I don't, you know, and here it says that now may the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. It's coming for you whether you like it or not. Verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Listen, I don't know if the people that we're dealing with are necessarily wicked men, but for some reason in my mind, Glenn, they feel somewhat unreasonable. Some of the steps, Bob, that they want us to go through seem to me unreasonable. Lord, deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men, because not all of them have faith. Paul prayed regularly for the believers in various churches, and he did not hesitate to ask them in return for their prayers. Listen, if you don't have anything else to pray for, you can always pray for your pastor. Always. So here, he is prepared to offer final words of advice to the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica. And first, he asked them to pray for him as fellow missionaries. The word pray there in the Greek literally means to keep on praying. Prayer is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing event. It's ongoing. And so the focus here of Paul's desire was that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified everywhere, just as it is among you. God wants to use us, folks, to share the gospel, that the gospel of the Lord would spread rapidly. How many of you realize that that's what he wants? He wants it to spread rapidly. He wants you to lose your seat. I look around here when nobody's in here but me. I look around and there are knitted blankets or whatever. I don't know what you call them. They're everywhere. And I sometimes just think, I want to just shuffle them. shuffle them. You know, maybe give Lita and Grandma one over here. Give Sandy, the Sandy side over there. People come in looking for their... You would just mess us up. Where's my blanket? It's true. It's true. I mean, they're everywhere. Look at... I don't know who makes them. You guys are making them all? Lord, I hope you're praying while you're doing that. Just pray. All it is tying knots. I've watched them. They're special knots, trust me, but... There's what's that? Love and prayer in every stitch. I like it. I like it. Listen, the Lord wants this place so full that you lose your seat. You know what I was thinking of this morning? Because we're getting ready to go to a conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And years and years ago when we used to go, our pastor... I love this guy. But they would say, no seat saving. You can't save seats. And I got to thinking about that. And I thought, man, I would want for people to want to save seats right up front. Just, Mike, that save that whole row because you've got so many people coming. Dennis, that whole row, just because you've got so many people coming. Yeah. Do you know that the word of the Lord in this reference refers to the preaching of the gospel? Do you know that He called every one of you to preach the gospel? Amen. All of you. Every one of us. The Greek word for spread rapidly, literally, has behind it the picture of a runner, like one who would participate in the games that were held in Corinth. And that's where Paul was writing from. And Paul saw the gospel message running across the known world and finding converts in every place, just like it had in Thessalonica. That's why prayer is important. That's why I'm talking about prayer, because that's why, Anthony, your message needs to get out. Michelle, your message needs to get out. Irene, your message needs to get out. How old are you? She's old enough to know better. All right? She's pushing 100. And that needs to be your message. Look at me. You don't look a day over 60. You're welcome. I'm not lying. I'm in the pulpit area. I'm not going to lie. God could just zap me. But look at how God has taken care of us. Look at you, young man, you cradle robber. Yeah, he says, I'm a cradle robber. My girlfriend's only 80. And you're 93 or 1 or... Look what God has done. Taking care of you guys all this time. That's an inspiration to us. How did I get this? I don't know, man. God has walked with me 91 years of my life. God has walked with me. I've been sick. I've been down. I've been up. God sustained me through it all. That's your preaching. That's your message. That's the gospel of Jesus. Paul saw this message running across the known world. The preaching of the gospel will result in honor being given to the Lord because of the marvelous results in the lives of those who believe. Let me tell you something. If you'll catch on fire, they'll come watch you burn. A church alive is worth the drive. I have said that from day one. I will continue to say it. Because I believe it. When the Lord begins to listen, what is it, Ashbury College? There's where I promise you right now that there are people coming from far and wide going to that place because of revival. They're flying, they're buying airplane tickets, they're driving, they're taking trains, they're going to Ashbury College. Why? Because they heard that God had showed up. Listen, the same God that can show up in a college campus can show up in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, and Myrtle Creek, Oregon can be on the web just the same way. I believe that. The problem is those kids are hungry. And too often, folks, we've just come to the table and we're like, move right along. Them kids are hungry. And when we as a church get hungry for what they have, we don't have to go there to get what they have. We don't have to go there to get what they've got. When Brownsville happened, everybody was running to Brownsville to get what Brownsville had to try and bring it back. Listen, you don't have to go someplace to get it. He's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's omnipresent. He's there. He's here. He's just waiting for His people to get under the spout where the glory comes out and to begin to receive what God has for us. And it all starts with prayer. If you want your life to change, pray. Seek that. Listen, I'm not talking about coming to the altar and saying, oh God, I got problems in my life. I need you to touch me and change me. Now I got to go. Bye. Praying like this involves snot and tears and bawling and squalling and crying out and looking dumb in front of everybody else but God. And God's like, that is precious to me. Do you realize that the prophet of God prayed that the heavens would be stopped? And for 3 years, it didn't rain? And then he prayed again? And the heavens gave rain? I'd like to have that kind of prayer power. I'd like to have it. It comes through practice. It comes through not giving up. The Thessalonians were an exemplary congregation. The preaching of the gospel results in the honor of the Lord being given to the Lord because of the marvelous results in the lives of those who believe. That's what's happening in Ashbury right now. Paul wants us to pray for the power of God to intervene in our places so that many will be saved and that God will be glorified. Listen, this church doesn't need glorified. I don't need glorified as a pastor. I know who I am. I know the mess that stands in front of you Sunday after Sunday. And I know that it's only because of the prayers of the saints and the prayers of my wife and my own prayers that keep me standing here day after day, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. Because I disqualify myself that quick. We need to pray for God's power to intervene. God wants a building built right out there. And there's opposition. It's not just FEMA. It's not just the county. It's not just building architects. It's not just civil engineers and structural engineers. There's a spiritual force behind all of it that is saying, listen, we cannot let that thing happen. We cannot let it happen. If it happens, if they build it, they will come. I'm not talking about a baseball field, but I believe with all of my heart that people will come to see what God did, because nobody needs to have a mathematical degree in geometry and algebra and all those other kinds to recognize that we don't have the wherewithal to build a structure like we're going to build right out there. Now, people are going to have to recognize that it was God that did that. Paul wants us to pray for God's power to intervene in every area of our life. Anybody got kids that are running amok? How much time are you spending on your face before God, saying, God, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Pray for God's power to intervene in those people's lives, in your children's lives, in your neighbor's lives, in every other place, that God would save people and that God would get glorified through it all. Look at what 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 10 says. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Does that make any sense to anybody? In much affliction, you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. That is a conundrum. Really, in much affliction with joy. It's only because of the Holy Spirit that we can go through those kinds of situations with joy. Remembering that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Verse 7, so that you become examples. Well, let me finish verse 6. And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia, who believe, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we don't need to say anything. Can you understand what's happening in this passage? The word is going to get out, and when we begin to live for the Lord, it goes out and we don't need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we have had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, who He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. If that doesn't say have Myrtle Creek, Oregon wrote all over it, I don't know what does. Can you see Myrtle Creek in that? And Riddle and Tri-City and Canyonville and Days Creek and Glendale and Camas Valley and Winston and Dillard and all every place in between? So we don't have to say anything, for they declare concerning us what manner of entry we had, and how you turned from God to from idols to God, from God to, oh Lord Jesus, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living. Listen, is there any idols around here? They're everywhere. Drugs. Alcoholism. All this kind of mess. People begin to turn from that. How many of you remember little Kyle that was here? Kyle is in a 1-year program over in Coos Bay called me this weekend, wanted me to greet the body, greet the church, and tell us and tell you how thankful he is for our prayers and for being a church that would accept him without question. Kudos to you. Good job. Good job. Don't look for him to come back anytime soon. He's in a one-year program. And I said, what are your plans after that? I said, you plan on coming back? I don't think I am, Pastor. I said, that's probably a good plan. There's too much hurt and too many memories and too much influence here. That's why we need to be the church. Because we need to change the influence. The only way we'll change the influence is having an effect where we live. And it's going to come through prayer. The message of salvation, though welcomed with great joy, it brought the Thessalonian believers severe suffering because it led to persecution from both Jews and Gentiles. The question then becomes this morning, folks, is am I willing to go through the persecution from the world? Am I willing to go through that? Let me just give you a little reminder of what God said in His Word. He said, the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's coming. If you're going to stand up and be counted for God, understand there's going to come persecution your way. John 15, verse 18 to 21. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So remember that the word that I've said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. You're not going to get out of it. You just as well understand. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Glory to God. Jesus told the disciples that because he suffered, so would they. It's going to happen. The disciples had already faced all kinds of suffering. Just before coming to Thessalonica, Paul and Silas had been beaten and been imprisoned in Philippi. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. Jericho march. He'd freak out if everybody just jumped up and started following him. Distractions. I'm distracted. Paul, I read something the other day about Paul, and I want to share it with you because it struck me so hard that when Paul died, remember who Paul was? Was Paul. Saul. That one. And he met Jesus and he became Paul. Right? He went from killing to saving. And when he died, listen to this. This is absolutely mind-blowing. When he died, he entered heaven to the cheers of all of those he had martyred. Yeah, I hadn't either. Think about that. Those people that he killed cheered him on as he stepped in the portals of glory. That's powerful. What we do here on earth means something. It means something. Paul faced severe suffering during most all of his ministry. Some of the sufferings are recorded in 2 Corinthians 11 and other places, but when the Thessalonian believers suffered for their faith, they were in good company. Through their suffering, they imitated the missionaries and the Lord Himself. They imitated the Lord. The New Testament places strong emphasis on imitating leaders. Can I just be up front and say there's some days I just wouldn't want you to imitate me? I'm not letting you or myself off the hook. I'm just saying that I have bad days. Here's the second thought. The New Testament places strong emphasis on imitating leaders, but it also gives strong words to those leaders that they be worthy of imitation. See, Jesus told His followers to learn from His example of gentleness and of humility. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, He says, "Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me." Paul urged believers to follow his example in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. "Join with others in following my example, brothers, that you take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Philippians 4 and 9, "Whatever you have heard or received or heard from me, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." Paul is encouraging them to follow him. The new Christians in Thessalonica received training and discipleship from Paul, and even in suffering, they modeled before others what they had learned. You did not hear from me that walking with the Lord is going to be a piece of cake. You did not hear that from me. Nor will you. There's too much scripture that says the contrary, but it will be worth it all. We have to realize that we are not walking in our realm. Amen? We're sojourners. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit so that you become a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Paul goes on to use his unworthiness to receive Christ as an example of grace so that no one would hold back from coming to Christ. 1 Timothy 1:16, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on Him and receive eternal life." Listen, do you ever doubt your salvation? Don't doubt your salvation. The price that was paid for you was eternal. Christ died for you. If you screw up, repent. Make it right. Don't just go, "Well, that was like 999 times, so I guess there's no more remission for me." If you're still sucking air, repent, get over it, get back on your feet, and walk with the Lord. The writer of Hebrews wanted the believers to imitate the faith of their leaders. People did not have Bibles to read as we do today, so they had to look in other sources. Hopefully, their leaders were worthy of emulation. Hebrews 13 and 7, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." What he's saying is, if their life is lining up with God's word, follow them. Follow them. Peter taught that Christian leaders should lead by example, not by commands. Whoa. 1 Peter 5:3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Christ endured great suffering for you and I, and as a result, He can be and is an inspiring example for believers that are facing suffering and persecution. Listen, Christ went through more than you and I will ever go through. Christ was ridiculed. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He was crucified. And even in all of that, He did not give in to fatigue, discouragement, or despair. So by focusing on Christ and what He did on our behalf, we won't become weary and give up. Trials can cause us to become discouraged and even despair. Lord, how long do I have to go through this? Anybody with me on that one? How long, Lord? I think He's saying to us this morning, it doesn't matter how long. What matters is how well are you going through it? It doesn't matter how long. How well are you going through it? Because whatever it is, whether it's persecution or whether it's a thorn in your flesh or whatever, how am I doing? What's my attitude in going through it all? During difficult times, we can remember how Christ endured and be inspired. And throughout history of the church, meditation on the suffering of Christ has helped countless martyrs and prisoners make it through. Christ's suffering surpassed any suffering that we might face. Without question, facing hardship and discouragement, we cannot lose sight of the big picture. We are not, listen, you might feel alone, but you're not alone. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Amen? He loves us. And this morning, prayer, every one of us have things in our life that we would ask prayer for, every one of us. And do you realize that we have a Savior this morning that is in the very presence of God right now, and He, in fact, is interceding on your behalf and mine? Think about that. What you're going through, you're not going through it by yourself. Those prayers that you're praying, Jesus is adding to those prayers. He is praying to the Father. He is talking to God on your behalf. He is our advocate. He is our advocate this morning. And He wants us to recognize that. And He wants us to begin to live like everyone is watching us. Like everyone is watching us. Remembering that He lives in us, and so He certainly is seeing all that we do. The judgmental thoughts that we think. The sharp words that roll off of our tongue sometimes. The confessions of doubt. I just don't think it can ever happen. Well, it probably won't. Until you begin to change your thinking and believe it. I can do all things through Christ. Not everybody's going to be happy with you. It's taken me 63 years to figure that out. I'm still not completely convinced. I'm a people pleaser. I always have been. I don't know how to change it. But I recognize that I'm not going to make everybody happy. Somebody ain't going to be happy with the decision I make. But I'm going to do my best to make those decisions based on what I hear from the Lord and what I read in His Word. And if I can keep those two at the forefront of my mind, frankly, it doesn't matter what you think. Because we've all heard it. I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. Bow your heads. Father, this morning, I believe with all of my heart You are calling Your people to prayer. That, Lord, You are calling Your people to begin like never before, like no other time, to begin to apply Your Word in each one of our lives. God, that we would be found faithful in the tithe and in offerings. That we would be found faithful in church attendance. That we would be found faithful in the gifts that You have given each one of us, Lord. You did not give us those gifts to sit on, but to use to enhance Your kingdom. Lord, that we would begin to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. That our words would be Your words. That Your words would get out into a community, into a region, a geographical region, Lord. Like throwing a pebble into a pond on a clear, calm day and watching the ripples begin to just go out, spreading farther and farther and farther and farther. Lord, may the word of the Lord hit the pond this morning, and that ripples would begin to go out. That You would use every one of us, O God, for Your glory and for Your honor, to spread the gospel message that Jesus Christ died, rose again, and is at the right hand of God, and that there is salvation for everyone. For everyone. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying all across this sanctuary right now. Maybe you're here today. You'd say, Pastor, that forgiveness has not reached me yet. I've never been born again. I've never accepted the Lord as my Savior. Today's your day. Today's your day. Pastor, I'm that one that you were talking about this morning that asked for forgiveness 99 times. And I've walked away from the Lord feeling like there was just no hope for me. I'm here to tell you this morning there is hope for you. And Jesus is simply saying this. If you'll repent, He'll forgive you. You might be 999 steps away from the Lord, but it only takes one step to get back to Him. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I fit in one or both of those categories this morning. I've never been saved, or I have been and I've backslidden, and I want to repent and get back with the Lord. If that's you in either one of those, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up this morning. I want to pray with you. God help me. God help me today. God help me today. Listen, I know that Steve's got some music playing, and I'm done right smack on time this morning. And so there's a few minutes left, and I'm going to invite you to come to these altars and to begin to pray and to begin to seek God for whatever it is in your life that you need God to change. Amen. The rest of you, if you don't feel like praying or whatever, you got someplace else, God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you back here tonight at 6. But these altars are open, and I'm going to encourage you to come and spend a few moments today with the Lord. Seek His face for that.